Howdy, everybody. Happy Sabbath to you all. I think it's a little cooler than the 110 to 115 it was yesterday, I heard on the news today. So we're certainly having a beautiful warm summer, about 13 or 14 straight days of rain, I heard on the news as well. My yard is enjoying that. I'm not enjoying so much the maintenance of it. It's like a jungle out there. Anybody notice poor Mr. Fauché was a little confused because I was charging the stage as he was trying to announce announcements coming up. I got all anxious about getting up here, hopefully not to get it over with, but to get into the subject here. So today, I struggled with an introduction. I had gotten all the stuff together that I was going to, and incidentally, Brian and I had both talked about what we were talking about and then change the subjects that we were talking about without each other's knowledge. But I think that you'll find that they dovetail nicely together, and certainly that's the kind of God that we worship, because he's inspiring both of us individually to help the whole. So what I did find, and it was right at the last minute, courtesy of our old friend Anthony Licciardi. He likes to post these pictures and little sayings, and I don't know if you can see it. It's pretty small, but it's a little like an electrocardiogram. Everybody's seen ER where, you know, you see the screen and you have the beep, 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 beep. But what happens when it goes beep? Everybody knows what's going on then, right? Well, the little picture says, if there are no ups and downs in your life, it means you're dead. So the moral of this simple introduction, brethren, is that if you're not having ups and downs in your life, then you're dead. That means that life is about having ups and downs. And the implication here is that we're all going to have struggles, strife, trials, tribulations, but yet in the scripture and throughout it all, we are encouraged simply, brethren, to stand firm, to stand fast, to hold fast when we're faced with them. Now, we can, brethren, stand with the help of God and Jesus Christ and of one another. And today what I'll be talking about is standing on the sure foundation of God, knowing who the adversary that wishes for us not to stand is, and to put into action another CAW. You remember I introduced that a few weeks ago, Christian action word, and that is stand. We are often told, brethren, of our amazing potential in God and Christ. We're often reminded that we have to be strong, that we have to be steadfast and firm. And today I want to encourage us, as we are encouraged through Scripture, to do just that and to persevere until the end. I hope that when we're finished here that you're encouraged to do so. Now, first point. To stand, we have to plant our spiritual feet on a solid foundation. Now, recognizing, you know, just what Mr. Pierce was saying in the announcements, we have an aging congregation. Some people are infirmed. Some people are weak. Some people don't stand well or don't stand at all or use a cane or a walker or something to help prop them up. What I'm talking about here, even though physically in the scripture it gives us the picture of standing firm, we're talking about a spiritual issue here. Standing firm in our faith, standing firm in our minds and our hearts with God and Jesus Christ as the ones who are giving us that encouragement and that ability through their Spirit to do so. So we have to stand and plant our spiritual feet on a solid foundation. Now, I want to mention, I'll mention scriptures here and encourage you guys to, through the week in your studies, go back and read some of the context that leads up to them. I'll mention Ephesians 2 and verse 19 because it says there that therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. Now Paul used that in Hebrews, if you'll recall as well. He says we're pilgrims and strangers seeking a new homeland, knowing that this earth is not where it is, but certainly it is with God and Christ and His in Christ's eventual return and foundation of his kingdom on this earth. So back to Ephesians, where it says, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I didn't start my stopwatch. You guys are in trouble now. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles, and in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we're built together for an inhabitation of God through the holy temple in the Lord, brethren, and that is our sure foundation. I wanted to push this foundation back a little bit, by the way, because I had this bad, you know, omen that I was going to back up and fall down while I was talking about standing firm, so I wanted to push that back. Our sure foundation is, of course, God and Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now I'm aiming for verse 19, but it's important kind of reading through that we recognize where we're going with this. So 2 Timothy 2 and chapter 2, kind of just going through the context here. Verse 1 says, then you, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Jesus Christ. And verse 8, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And verse 10, where he says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation of Jesus Christ with eternal glory. And 14, reminding us of these things. He says in verse 15, and this goes along with standing firm in the Lord and planting our feet on the spiritual foundation. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And finally, verse 19, which is where we were going. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So God knows who are his, brethren, and we are standing on that very foundation, and by doing so, we can spiritually, physically, in our hearts and minds, stand strong, stand firm, stand fast in the Lord. Paul encourages us further through that chapter, bringing it to an end, to be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy and useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness. Pursue faith. Pursue love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So that's not just doing it by yourself. It says along with those who do the same thing. And that's us, brethren, as a family here in Houston South, but more importantly in the fellowship of the Church of God. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Instead, be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. And certainly 2 Timothy helps us understand how we, to stand, must plant our spiritual feet on a solid foundation. Now, quickly with the second point, who does not stand firm? Who does not stand firm? Turn with me to John 8 and verse 44. John 8 and 44. Many of you will recognize that as a memory scripture in reference to the description of the roaring lion, the prince of the power of the air, Satan the devil, who does not stand firm. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and this is Christ in speaking to the leadership of the day, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it on his own, for he's a liar and its father. Now, I think that's from the NIV, but it is very plain speaking there. Satan the devil does not stand in the truth, brethren, and obviously we are working as a part of our spiritual development, as a part of who we are and who we want to become through the calling that God has blessed us with, putting Him behind us, just like Christ so many times in the New Testament told him specifically as he was confronted with either Satan himself or the attitude of Satan. Get behind me. And that's certainly, if we are to stand firm, what we have to do with he who does not stand firm. As the God of this world, Satan envelops this nation, this world in lies. The entire setup, be it false religion or be it the so-called Christianity of our nation, is enveloped in a lie from the father of lies. Versions, variations, shadows of truth mixed in with a big lie, which is that you're okay and I'm okay, and that's certainly not the way that we believe. But we must, if we are to stand fast, recognize that Satan, his worlds, the pulls of his worlds, the desires of this world are obstacles for us to overcome. And if we are standing fast and holding fast, we recognize the roaring lion, the prince of the power of the air, he who does not stand firm. Do any of you remember the movie Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World? This was back in about 2003 or 4 or 5. It was Russell Crowe, and he was a British naval captain in the 1800s, and it was a fabulous movie, PG-13, I think, because of some 1800s naval warfare battles that were going on there. But there was this grizzled old sailor, you know, looked like he must have been 60, 70 years old, but nevertheless a sailor on Her Majesty's ship, and there was a young he was still sailing a ship, so he wasn't infirmed completely, but there was a young officer. Now, when I say a young officer, it was a boy. He looked like he was 12 to 13 years old, which was common back in that time. He was a young officer on the ship from a family of means and whatnot. He was a 13 or 14 year old boy, and this grizzled old sailor was his subordinate. Nonetheless, they're in this battle and they're chasing it's a Napoleonic War, so they're chasing a French galleon that was, they kind of cat and mouse with this thing, and finally the big scene where they're shooting their cannons at each other just, 100 yards apart from one another, and boards are flying as are people, and it's very, very intense, and the young officer with eyes as big as saucers looks at the older sailor, and he just does like this. And on his knuckles were tattooed the words, "Hold fast." So I think about that when I think about standing firm. Just the face that he made. Veteran, grizzled veteran of many battles. He told that young man, "Hold fast." And that's what we have to do. And that's what the older ones have to teach the younger ones. That means you're teaching me, and I appreciate that. We all have to hold fast together. It's certainly a family affair when we're talking about encouraging one another. Now, finally, in the third and longest point that I'll make is, who is to stand firm and fast? Of course, if you have been following what I've said so far, obviously it's going to be you and me, brethren. We have to, with God's help. We're like that old sailor with "hold fast" tattooed on his knuckles. We're going to be showing that to the people who are coming along, to our wife, to our children, to those who are like-minded with us, encouraging one another to stand firm and fast, using scripture that we'll talk about today, and it's much more than surviving a single battle, as was the case in that description. It's about a way of life, an attitude, a habit that we must take to stand firm and survive, brethren, the war, because Satan is raging war on this society. How many people were disheartened and just sick at your stomach from the news this week about another mass shooting in our nation? Just senseless and unbelievable and something that certainly should have us crying, "Your kingdom come," to God, because it you know, you think how much worse than it can it get, but I believe that it can get a whole lot worse. The point is, if we are standing firm and fast, we have to understand that the scripture encourages us to do so. And, you know, maybe you've never heard a scripture that or a sermon that talks about this all in a row, but if you really get into your concordance and look at stand firm, stand fast, or simply stand, the scripture is full of encouragement from all of the apostles and writers that are in the Bible for you to do just that. Let's talk about the words used in the scriptures that I'm using today, and I've just picked two of them. In Strong's, one is 2476, or histemi, H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It's used in the New Testament to convey, to make firm, to fix, or to establish. In some ways, to cause a person or a thing to keep his or its place, to cause one to preserve a right state of mind, also of one who in the midst of the fight holds his position against the foe. And isn't that certainly something that we have to do every day when we open our eyes and swing our feet over the edge of the bed? We have to call on the power of God and Jesus Christ through their mercy and grace to us and calling and say, "I'm going to need some help today." It's kind of like the blip you've seen before that says, "Dear God, I've done pretty good today. I've not had any thrown any fits. I've not said any bad words. I've not blown up at anybody. But I'm about to get out of bed now. And if you could, I'd appreciate it if you'd help me do that through the rest of the day." So certainly that's what we have to do. Now, the second word, Strong's 4739, is stako. Stako. It's used in the New Testament very similarly to histemi, and it's to stand firm, to persist or persevere. Absolutely to persevere in godliness and rectitude, to stand firm in one's fellowship with the Lord, or to stand firm and not to sin. So these words are very important in reference to how we keep ourselves, brethren, and how we keep our position, if you will. It's like a GPS. I was talking to Bo, Miss Ann's fiance, and his job is with GPS and all kinds of equipment. He keeps rigs, these big floating huge oil rigs, on a single spot, and that's using all kinds of GPS to keep it so just in the right spot, because if it gets too far off, you know, the alarms and whistles go off, they blow the line to keep it from leaking into the ocean, and there's a lot of money and a lot of answering to do. But basically, standing firm is using Jesus Christ and God as our anchor and our foundation and as our GPS that helps us to keep that position, to stand firm. And like it says in these words and in their inferences of meaning, one in who in the midst of a fight holds a position against the foe. It goes to Yahweh Nisi. Brian just mentioned him, the name of God that says, "God is my banner." The banner was held in place so you'd know where your people were, where the group that you came with was. Hold your position against the foe. So we have to recognize and stand firm and strong by wearing the armor of God, brethren, by keeping the big picture in mind, by standing fast in the faith, by moving forward, by standing fast in our calling and being on guard. Those are all points that we'll make through Scripture as we move along here. But first, let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, everybody should recognize where we're going there. And in that case, we're encouraged to stand in this group of Scripture at least a half a dozen times. Ephesians 6. Where in verse 10 we begin to talk about, most of your Bibles will be headed with the whole armor of God. And we start right into there and reading through verses 18 where it says, finally, be strong in the Lord. That word is the same as stand, as we had talked about there. And in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Remember who does not stand? Satan the devil does not stand. And it said it in John 8:44 that we read, so that I don't misquote it. I'll find it again. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. So we have to take our stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, it's funny that a lot of the scriptures that I'll use today have that term, therefore, right before it tells you to stand firm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. And right before you put on your armor, you have to stand firm, it says in verse 15. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one who does not stand. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, being alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. In some cases, that was, I believe, either the American King James or NIV. In some cases, verse 18, like for instance, my King James says being watchful, but several descriptions I saw of it called that specific verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, to stand firm and always keep on praying for all of the saints. So we are standing firm on our own, we are standing firm collectively, and we are trying to take our stand against the devil's evil scheme. So we are standing firm and strong by wearing the armor of God, brethren. We also stand firm with God's help and by keeping the big picture in mind. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. It's one of my favorite spots in Scripture in referencing the big picture and what we're here for, if you will, and what we desire and what we pray for with fervence. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, remember I told you, make sure that you go back and kind of read through the chapters for a lot of these scriptures. But I noticed even this morning where in the second verse of Corinthians 15, and I'm shooting for the end of the chapter, but the second verse of Corinthians 15 and verse 2 says, leading into it from verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare it to you, the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So we have to stand, it says, in the gospel and in the and hold fast in the word that has been preached to us and that we understand as the truth of God and what we call the truth of God. But let's go down all the way out to verse 50. And I'm shooting for verse 58, but verse 50 starts one of my favorite passages of Scripture, so let's pick it up there. And my King James Bible, it's headed, "Our Final Victory, Our Final Victory." "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." Listen, verse 15, listen, or 51. That might be another action word one of these days. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For that trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." And that is something that I turn to in Scripture often as encouragement for standing firm. You know, ups and downs. Life has its ups and downs, like we heard about it. If you're not having ups and downs, you're probably pushing up daisies, because that's the way it is. The house needs leveling. The car needs tires. The kids need shoes. Heavens, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? And if we're not standing firm and keeping the big picture in mind, we can be discouraged by it. But we have to refuse to be discouraged by it, brethren, and spiritually to stand tall and firm and fast on the promises that are associated with keeping the big picture in mind and with the truth of God, and recognizing that we have to strap on the armor of God every day as we make our way into the world. Now let's pick it up again in verse 56. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through our Yahweh Nisi, the standard bearer. All the names that describe our great and powerful, omniscient and amazing God. Verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers," and here's the action word, "stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So we are to stand firm and let nothing move us. That means that, you know what? The house will get leveled when we have money in the bank to do it. The tires will get replaced when either they finally quit holding air or, you know, something else comes along. And certainly those are minor irritations. Those are the things that we come through with. But, you know, there are plenty of things that give us a lot of discouragement if we let them, brethren. Issues with our health, issues with our family's health, issues with all of the things that can in this earthly realm go wrong. But brethren, we have to stand firm with God's help and by keeping the big picture in mind. Now, 1 Corinthians, just one chapter over, in verse 16, you'll see there it's kind of closing down the chapter here, and Paul was talking about the collection for the saints and his plans that he had in reference to traveling and whatnot. And then kind of in the middle of that chapter, with final exhortations he's saying there, he kind of has this one sentence or two sentences that are very profound. Look at verse 13 there in 1 Corinthians 16. It says, "Watch you, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong, and let all things be done with love." Those are his exhortations to the Corinthians after he's spoken with them about all these issues and all these problems that they had. And his final exhortation to them is, "Watch, stand, quit you like men." That word kind of means basically behave like men, or behave like adults. "Be strong, and let all things be done with love." So we stand fast, brethren, in the faith of God. And as verse 15 said, through Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory, and thanks be to God for that. We stand fast, brethren, by moving forward. Let's turn to Philippians. Turn to Philippians, and we're shooting for Philippians 4, verse 1. But let's pick it up back in the third chapter where we are encouraged to reach or press forward toward conversation in heaven and the fact and the change that we desire and live for and have been promised there. So we stand fast, brethren, by moving forward. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Paul is very good for action words, I believe. And I picture him as a real energetic guy, real energetic speaker because of this stuff here. Philippians 3 and verse 13. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting all of those things that are behind me and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So we stand fast by moving forward, by pressing forward and reaching forth, as Paul exampled us here. And verse 15, he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." He tells them, be followers of me in the walk that I've made, as he goes on there. And verse 20, he says, "For our conversation in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who," verse 21, "shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereof, he is able to subdue all things unto himself." So he's saying here that our conversation, the things that we are looking to and standing firm for, are heavenly, from whence Jesus Christ came, who's going to change our corruptible body into one like his. And that's an amazing, amazing close to Philippians verse 3 and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore." Now remember in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 said, "Therefore." I had said, remember that. It's kind of causal. It's also translated, "So then, wherefore," or "because of this." Philippians 4, 1, "Because of this, or therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So he says, because of these things, because we're reaching forth, pressing forward, and because we understand that Christ will return and turn our corruptible into incorruptible, we are to stand fast in the Lord. I think that's an amazing encouragement from him. And of course, we can also stand fast, brethren, in our calling. Our calling is an amazing treasure, a precious gift. It's spoken of in Christ's parables as a pearl of great price, a treasure that's unimaginable. So we stand fast in our calling. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll pick that up in verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification in the Spirit and belief of the truth." We are chosen by God in our calling. Verse 14, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15, and here's that word again, "Therefore, because of this, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle." Verse 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So we are to stand fast because of our calling, brethren, and hold to the traditions that we've been taught. And Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us, gives us everlasting consolation and good hope through the grace that is come to us freely through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they will comfort our hearts and establish us in every good work. Establish, right there, is another word that from the Strong's words that I described, that describes standing fast, holding fast, persevering in God. Now, here's a warning for us about being on guard. You know, there's so many military sort of examples. A lot of the names of God that Mr. Waddell used were in reference to battle. Yahweh Nisi. I keep going back to that one because that's how our messages are dovetailing today. By accident, I don't think so. But the point is that God is the standard bearer. That by recognizing that standard, we are standing firm in Him, and we stand fast in our calling, in our faith, by moving forward. But here's a warning for us through 1 Corinthians verse 10. It's a warning to us about being on guard and thinking that we stand, and a promise that you'll be able to escape temptation and trials. Let's go there to 1 Corinthians verse 10. And it speaks in there, of course, of the children of Israel back at the Exodus, and how starting in verse 1, he says, "Brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all our fathers under the cloud all passed through the sea." We talk about standing firm, and the first point being on that we have to stand firm on the foundation. I want to go back to my first point so I can... We must plant our spiritual feet on solid foundation. Well, here's where that foundation is. Verse 2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. That's the foundation that we are standing fast in, brethren. Now, he goes through to speak of them and how God was not well pleased with them because they lusted, they were idolaters, they tempted Christ, they murmured. And he goes on in verse 11 to say, now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And again, that word, therefore, because of this, let him that thinks he stands, same word that we've described before, take heed lest he fall. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Now, isn't that, in the midst of that scripture, something to hang our hats on and stand firm with? God, brethren, is faithful. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you be able to bear it. So the warning here is that we must, even though we are standing firm, even though we recognize the grace of God that is our high calling to him, that we recognize all of those things, we have to still take heed, and in case we think we stand, or if we think we stand, take heed unless we fall. That's the point I'm trying to make, moving right along. And finally, brethren, we stand fast in the Spirit together. We stand fast in the Spirit together. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. And this is interesting because it kind of harkens back to what we read in Philippians 3, where it said, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. This first or Philippians 1 here in verse 27 says, "Only let our conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So a lot of our standing, brethren, is going to be through encouragement to one another, through the fellowship that we enjoy here on the Sabbath, which is an oasis in the week. An oasis in the week. If you're still commuting back and forth to work, that's a trial, but it's not an oasis. This, brethren, is where we can stand fast in the Spirit together, and where we, with our conversation, can expound on and become the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we stand fast together in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So what we've basically done here, brethren, in referencing another Christian action word, standing firm, standing tall, standing fast, is recognizing that we're going to all have struggles, trials, strife, and tribulations in our lives. Remember, if you're not having ups and downs, then you're not living. And how we act when we stand faced with those. We can stand, brethren, stand firm, stand tall, stand fast with the help of God and Jesus Christ and with one another, standing on that sure foundation that is God and Jesus Christ, knowing the adversary who does not stand in the truth and seeks to devour us and push us off of that foundation, if you will, is another tool that we can use in our ability to stand fast, because we recognize that the pulls and the pushes of Satan and his world are nowhere near the prize of the glory and the victory of Jesus Christ. And we are to put into action another Christian action word this week, brethren, to stand. So when we're told of our amazing potential in God and Christ, and we're often reminded that we have to be strong and stand fast and stand firm, I wanted to encourage us today, as we are encouraged through the Scripture, stand fast, stand firm, stand forever, be steadfast, immovable, unmovable, strong, resolute, and persevere until the end. And I hope that you're encouraged to do just that. So I want to close with a final scripture of encouragement and a view of our desired end result as we stand, brethren. Turn with me to Mark 13. Mark 13 and verse 13. Where it says, "And you will be objects of universal hatred because you're called by my name, but those who stand firm to the end will be saved." Thank you very much.